Yes, yes, okay, just good. So bond dissociation is actually a stochastic process, and basically, depending on the type of the potential that we have, each bond will respond differently to external forces. And what is also known is that the force that we measure will force needed to unbind a certain molecular complex will depend on the Pauling velocity, and also if we use theoretical appropriate theoretical frameworks, we can extract the k of parameter of the bond, so natural off rate, and the potential barrier rate. So if we have our force curve, so what we take from the force curve is the value of force and the value of loading rate, which is velocity times effective spring constant. That should be here. Effective spring constant for all the resistance. So now we are at the slide where were some formulas which are all missing, but the dissociation rate of a bond is actually depends on external force, and this is already known since many years ago. It was originally proposed by Dell, and then also Kramer took it, and then it went on from there. And this mathematical framework actually gives us opportunity to relate the values that we measure in the force curve, like the force and the loading rate, to the parameters of the bond, namely K off and XD. So basically, if we start from a single rate transition, if we assume a single barrier K, then it's possible to derive the probability that a certain bond will break if we apply force F. And from this, we can also relate to next slide. With this formula here, which actually tells us something, that when we measure all the forces for different velocities, so each from each force that we take, we actually, for each velocity, we will get a distribution of forces. So not only a single force value, but the force distribution. That we also get from the loading rate distribution. And then for each separate velocity, if we plot the most probable force versus most probable loading rate, then we should see that the force depends as a logarithm of the loading. And from the linear parameters of mRNA from being slightly in the nucleus of the cell. So it can safely be exported from the nucleus and then packed as a genome in the new viral particle. And what is also fascinating is that this sequence, this very small stem loop, is highly preserved among all HIV isolates, and that actually the mutants that don't have this stem loop will not bind the rep protein at all. So there was this idea that actually you can use this RNA as a target for rational, let's say, drug design, which would be at the same time efficient among many different HIV isolates. Now this is still a fantasy, but people work on it. So in our experimental setup, we used a small, I hope, yeah, okay. So we used a small peptide, which is a part of the rep protein, which is known that binds directly to this stem. That is known from biochemical studies, and also the NMR structure that you see here is actually this high affinity binding site, and this is the rep peptide. So the peptide is cysteine modified, an N-terminus. Why is this? Oh, that should have been a picture here. Okay, so the picture shows on the AFM cat liver, we have a polyethylene glycol linker, and we couple rep protein to it, and on a glass slide, we couple also polyethylene glycol, and then thiol label RNA. So this is a small RNA construct which has this high affinity binding site. And this is a wild type sequence, so found in most of the viruses. So, and these are some of the forces that we actually measure. And you can see all these nice rupture events. And then when we do the plot of the distribution of forces, which is shown here, and the distribution of loading rates, and using the theoretical framework that I showed you before, we obtain this force dynamic plot, which shows that force depends on the logarithm of loading rate. And from the parameters of this peak, we can extract the off rate. This is visible, okay. The off rate, and the potential barrier width. Now, this off rate that we have observed matches actually quite nicely to the values obtained in bulk studies. And this such a small potential width actually indicates that when we pull out the peptide from the loop, we break all the hydrogen bonds at the same time. So they break all at once, not one by one. Now, we also wanted to test this specific interaction, okay, in the presence of neomycin B. So neomycin is a known, very good RNA binding molecule. And on this particular RNA sequence, it has three binding sites. Now, the sequence you should be able to see here, but that doesn't work. So basically, from all the three binding sites, only one, which is here in the middle, which is actually this stem loop, interferes with rep binding. And what we wanted to see is that if we introduce neomycin as a competitor in our liquid cell, what would be the effect on the force distribution that we measure. And we see indeed far less number of binding events, which means that most of the interactions are prevented, but nevertheless we still see enough, which says that in this case it is also possible to form a tertiary complex between neomycin and rep and RNA. So then we tested the why is this not working? Okay, then we tested the interaction for a mutated RNA sequence. And now I will just jump through my sequence to show you where the mutation is. So the mutation is actually this. Mutation is in these two base pairs. So these two, G and C, and these two, C and G, are only mirrored. So basically, CG is just what swaps to GC. And for this case, and we also wanted to see if we actually can get any nice results.
the structure of RNA is the same at different experiments, and it is stable during the experiment?
Well, that we do not know. You cannot really see this in your measurements. You can see only if you have a binding event or not. So that's all that we can say. But since it is possible there actually that when you pull it, that you also open the helix a bit, and then it takes a while till it recalls back or something. But that we cannot.
Initial state is the same.
Yes, the initial state is the same. So we use it. Yes?
The question is want to understand. When you rupture, what type of interaction do you rupture? You rupture protein-RNA interactions or
yes.
RNA-RNA?
Protein-RNA. Peptide-RNA.
So this was, because when you said there was a bunch of hydrogens, it's a hydrogen
bond. The hydrogen bond between the peptide and the RNA. Yes. Extracted from the experiment, but of course you have to But for this purpose, just to estimate, like a hand-waving argument, we took the